listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ. We're live coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, New Year's Eve. 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Action-packed hour for you this special holiday Monday. The bosses at Fox Sports Radio said, RJ, you want to do Monday or not? It's your choice. I said, wait a minute. Are there games Monday night? Games on Tuesday? They said, yeah. I said, well, what do you think? I'm right here. And that's what we're going to do. Brad Powers joins us with all the college knowledge. And today he is going to shine. Why? We're going to give you a best bet on tonight's game. One of tonight's games. Also, the 3 biggest games on Tuesday, New Year's Day, will have either likes or leans on. Also, first look at the playoffs, Steelers, Patriots, all that fun. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. He's here too grinding. You can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a New Year's Eve edition of Straight Out of Vegas. And as always, we come to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we start in the NFL, and we start with the biggest reality show going in the league. That would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They were eliminated from the playoffs and playoff contention on Sunday. And now a report from The Athletic says Antonio Brown's absence from Week 17's game against Cincinnati was not due to an injury, but in fact for disciplinary reasons, as he had a little bit of an altercation and a disagreement with Ben Roethlisberger at practice last week, allegedly threw a football at the feet of Roethlisberger, left practice, did not participate in the walkthroughs on Saturday, thus more drama in the Steel City.
Well, first off, I'm making Big Ben the favorite in that fight.
Good reach. He's got a good reach advantage.
Yeah, I listen, I'm going to approach this in a whole different way. I am a Steelers fan. I'll say that in the present tense, but I'm much less of a Steelers fan than I used to be just in the last 5 years. You know, some of it, I was talking to Colin Cowherd about this on a pod recently. You know, some of it is when you're 35, you know, so I'm in my mid-40s. When you're 35, you're pretty much, hey, you can, hey, look, Brady's older than me. Oh, you know, so breeze. And then the time comes where no one, I don't even think the Colts kicker, Vinatieri's 47. So to me, it's a situation where just it kind of makes sense you're going to relate less to the players, because even though world-class professional athletes are going to be different than me, regardless of the age I am, now there's the difference of culture, there's the difference of generations, there's a difference of athleticism and the focus on the physical side of life. And ultimately, how can you be a huge fan of a team if you're not fans of the players? I mean, the old line is laundry, right? You're rooting for laundry. So, Jonas, let me ask you. You're the voice of the fans on Straight Out of Vegas. Who's the, of all major American sports, he's going to give us a WNBA team. Who do you like best as a fan? What team do you root for the most?
Oh, the LA Sparks. I mean, clearly that would be the, I would say that I root for the most. Growing up, rooting for the Chicago Bears was my team growing up.
I'm asking today.
Today?
Today.
I try and stay away from it, honestly. Yeah, I don't.
So you don't root for any. Why? You think that gives you like a journalistic distance?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. See, to me, I think you've got to, as long as you admit being, I mean, look at, obviously, Bo Simmons is a great example, right? He admits to being a Boston sports fan, and everyone enjoys the passion. I guess your passion's for the dollars, though.
Well, I think it's a better perspective. Like, you're one of the rarities because you can be critical of your team. There are people out there who still do sports radio or sports television. They don't have it in them to take away their biases in order to look at it objectively.
Well, listen, to me, it's all about the green, right? It's easier when there's money on the line, right? Anything is, I think, when it comes to discipline. We've all heard and probably most of us have participated in weight loss bets. You usually do pretty well when it's $100 a pound. Right? It's those next 6 months. Now, I'm not saying I'm speaking from experience, but perhaps. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And to me, how can you look at this Steelers team and think to yourself, boy, I would really like to hang out with this fellow. Like, who on the team is that guy? Now, I get it. It'd be fun to have dinner with any of them just for the novelty of it, for asking questions. Big Ben, what were you thinking when you threw the ball to Holmes in the Super Bowl? I get all that. But on day 10, on day 20, these are people, or maybe a better way, a lot of listeners out here are parents. Who would you want your kid to emulate, to try to be like? And I get it. We can talk to Will Blue about Tomlin's underperformance, and I think that's a heck of a conversation. But to me, this feels like the chicken when it comes to the – or this feels like the egg which spawns the chicken, in that if you can't even in a must-win game – focus on that game. It's one thing if you go to the Raiders in Oakland and you're not sure what the stakes are, right? Yeah, you want to win every game. But when it's a must-win game against the Bengals and you're tied in the fourth quarter against Jeff Driscoll, boy, to me, it's hard to imagine anyone really wanting their kids to emulate any of these players. Again, I know there's the left tackle. He was in the service and all that. I totally respect that. I'm not saying there's not individual players. And I don't know enough about all the players. Just collectively, my ability to appreciate and want to emulate these players has gone down significantly in the last 5 or 10 years. Now, what's the cause of that? I don't know. Because I think it's too easy to say it's millennials. Every generation looks at the generations that come after and they say, oh, they're lazy. They don't read enough. They don't, you know, can't believe you like that Elvis Presley fellow, right? I mean, it happens every generation. I think it's too easy. And maybe in hindsight, we're going to look foolish saying, oh, this is problematic. But I tell you this, I know in sports, the goal is to win. And I can't imagine how these actions help a team's chance of winning.
Is it that you grew up on a different era of Steeler football in which it was about defense, grinding, run the ball, pound your opponent down? A lot of success that way. Chuck Knoll, all of that. Bill Cowher kind of emulated a lot of that as well, too, when he took over in the 90s. And this team's not like that. It's flash. It's high flying. It's offense. Your best players are your star skill position players. They've got a lot of personality.
Well, I tell you, I mean, it's not even that, because let me just speak from experience, from my own personal feelings. I was a gigantic fan of the Bill Cowher Steelers that won the Super Bowl in against Seattle in a very well-officiated game. And to me, I looked at it and thought of Hines Ward. I was talking about Hines Ward as a guest on a show recently, and he had a year left in him. Pittsburgh said, "We're done. You know, we're done with you. You're a Steeler for life. Go do your thing." And Hines Ward either had enough money or whatever. He said, "No, I don't want to play a game in another uniform." Now, listen, that's something that is a heck of a luxury to be able to do, right? Most people, whatever that amount of money would have been, $3-4 million, I'm guessing at the time, you know, mid-level veteran kind of contract. He had the luxury to say keep it, but wow, to say keep it. I don't care how much, you know, Gordon Gekko, how much more, right? Almost everyone wants, you don't hear LeBron talking about, and again, it's not about LeBron. It's about a vast majority of players might have hundreds of millions in the bank, and it's all about more, not about quality of life, not about winning. Now, again, there's exceptions. And when there's exceptions, I think it's something we in the media need to exalt. We need to put up there and give some applause to, right? But let's go down the list. I know Harrison for the Steelers was a player that was some thought was dirty. I thought that's old school football. Now, maybe old school football was dirty, right? I've always liked Big Ben. I know he's had his problems. As a player, I've always thought that's the toughest quarterback I've ever seen. I mean, where he won't get hurt unless there's no choice. And he'll come out. I mean, I still remember the game where Big Ben's ankle turned all the way back and touched it, like his calf. And I looked at the play on replay. I said, if he's ready next year, it'd be a shock. It's about 3 years ago. He comes out after halftime and plays the whole second half with one leg. I mean, that to me, obviously these are all imperfect people, just like we all are, right? Especially in Vegas. I don't think they let you in town if you're perfect. But the fact of the matter is, to me, Jonas, it's there might be that, oh, I would have liked a higher percentage of the players from the 70s or 80s, perhaps. But I'm talking 5 or 6 years ago when the Steelers lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl, and I guess 11, that would have been February of 2011, I was depressed for 10 days. You know, so I still cared that much that recently. And I'll be honest, my only feeling yesterday was I got engaged in that Ravens game right after it was like, okay, the Browns might have a chance to win. And it was literally almost the moment I gave myself a chance of believing Pittsburgh was going to get in, that the Browns, they were the Browns. And it literally was like 5 minutes I didn't feel good about it. I put out a tweet and I said, now I understand what it's like being a Browns fan. The whore. But to me, literally, they got eliminated and I was upset for 7 minutes. And it's not about me, I can promise you, because it's the only team I really care about. So if I really cared about Ohio State as a grad, okay. If I really cared about, you know, I like the Spurs probably the best in the NBA. There's no Pittsburgh team in the NBA, so it wasn't, you know. Pirates, they lost me when they quit spending money 15 years ago. You know, a good friend of mine is a huge Pirates fan. And I said, you are enabling this ownership group by keep supporting this team without spending money. They're getting no negative feedback, right? But the last team I really cared about, the Steelers. And I always liked Brown because Brown was a fifth or sixth round pick out of, what was it, Eastern Michigan?
Central Michigan.
And the idea he became fairly quickly one of the best receivers, it was like, wow, this is a Tom Brady-esque story. And I don't know who's at fault here. I just know we just spent the entire first segment talking about this. And I think most shows that have people working on New Year's Eve are probably talking about this. And to me, that makes me like the NFL less, and it certainly makes me like the Steelers less. When we come back, we're going to talk about probably the other side of that coin, some amazing stats about how unmatched the Patriots' success has been.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we'll tell you about a potential dark horse in the AFC playoffs.
Each weekday, even New Year's Eve, we bring the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now, usually we tell you about the temperature on the Strip. The Strip is closed for New Year's Eve. But I sent someone down, they texted me, 50 degrees, and the neon is, Brad, you had an idea. What was the neon doing? You
humming.
Had a report.
Humming.
Yeah. The neon is humming.
Guys, the New England Patriots defeated the New York Jets 38-3 on Sunday, clinching the 2 seed and a first-round bye in the AFC playoffs. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on New England heading into the AFC playoffs?
Well, the Vegas perspective on New England, we could just record me, and then when I'm out, we could just play this one. It's simple. Bill Belichick since 2003 with Brady, and that's been all the games, even the Castle games. He is, Belichick, the Patriots, mostly Brady, 60% against the spread. Now, professional bettors like Fezzik hit 55%. They have a mansion and a yacht. if they hit 55%. Playing blindly on the Patriots, 60. The second best team in the NFL during that time won 55% playing them blindly. You might say, oh, 5% difference. Well, think of it like this. To beat the bookie, you got to hit 52.5%. So the distance from there to 55 is 2.5%. The distance from 55 to 60, whereas the Patriots are, is 2.5% times 2. So literally the second best team has 2.5 percentage points of edge over the bookie since 2003 if you had played them blind. And the Patriots have triple that. Triple that. Now that is amazing. But I want to go beyond just the Vegas perspective with something personal.
Here's a theory for you to disregard completely.
But you probably shouldn't. These are right now the consecutive NFL playoff buys. So teams that have received a bye. How many consecutive years? Patriots, 9 straight years. The Chiefs, 1 straight year. The Saints, 1 straight year. And the Rams, 1 straight year. So this accomplishment that we're all kind of saying, and you can even hear it in Jonas's voice. Yeah, and the Patriots get another one. It's like, oh, the Jets aren't very good. The Dolphins aren't very good. Oh, remember Spygate. Yeah, okay. Okay. But somehow, this team has gotten a bye, one of the 4 best regular season teams for 9 straight years. Now you might say, yeah, but what about playoffs? Here is a list of the NFL teams with more than 2 straight playoff appearances. Forget byes. Just make the playoffs. All right, so 4 teams get a bye, 12 teams make the playoffs. So in theory, it's triple as easy or so to just make the playoffs, right? Okay. Patriots have made the playoffs 10 straight, Chiefs 4 straight, and that's it. NFL teams with more than 2 straight playoff appearances. Patriots 10, Chiefs 4, and no other team. So here's what I know. I so appreciate the savvy of a lot of the Fox Sports Radio guys, others on other stations also. Colin Cowherd's a personal friend. But when you come on and you're questioning Belichick, oh, he should have given Brady more of this, or he should have punted here. Just stop. Just stop. You have no idea the level this guy's working at. And this isn't, oh, I mean, think about throughout the ages. Go back in history. So in the, let's say the 90s, if we would have debated who was the best coach. And again, Jimmy Johnson would have been in the conversation. Bill Walsh, I guess, would have still been in the conversation.
No, right? Bill Walsh.
Oh, he would have been what?
80s, yeah.
Well, I know he was mainly in the 80s, but...
Nah, he just coached at Stanford in the 90s.
Well, that's true enough. All right, so if you think about the conversations about who, you know, Chuck Noll, obviously, in the 70s, Madden, you would have had a discussion about, Tom Landry, you would have had a discussion. I mean, every decade, you very fairly would have 3 or 4 coaches. You would say, you know, Bill Parcells, you know, obviously in the 90s would have been in the discussion.
Marv Levy would have been thrown in there.
I mean, that's ironic to say in that, you know, if he had just won 4 more games, he'd be on Mount Olympus, right? So who's in the discussion with Bill Belichick? I mean, Andy Reid's the only one that just got fired that the idiots on Twitter are talking about how he's so dumb in his when he calls his timeouts. And then who's after that? Literally, who is that? Sean Payton?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Listen, Sean Payton's great, right? I'm not saying Andy Reid's not great. I'm saying Belichick has lapped the field, especially in this age of if you don't have high draft choices, it's hard with the hard cap to keep winning. The fact that they keep winning, the Patriots, to me, is one of the most amazing stories. And I think you could say Tom Brady is key, and you're so right. But Tom Brady's no better than Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, you could go back with the best quarterbacks. If anything, you could make the case Peyton Manning was better than Tom Brady if you just looked at the throws. If you had no on a per-play basis, Peyton Manning, in my opinion, better than Tom Brady. So there's 4, just like every other decade with coaches, there's 4 or 5 quarterbacks this century, you could say, are right there interchangeable. Drew Brees is right in the conversation. There's one person, there's one area that he's there and there's no one even in second, and it's Belichick, and you've got to give him the lion's share of the credit. And it's amazing that in this down year, with all the critiques from the talk radio geniuses, Belichick is one of the four teams again to get a bye.
Guys, from the best coach in the NFL to teams looking for their next coach in the NFL, the Browns and Packers already made firings earlier this season. Black Monday hit, and the Jets, Broncos, Dolphins, Cardinals, Bengals, and Buccaneers are all in the market for a new head coach.
One of the things I'm most proud of about Straight Out of Vegas, about our podcast, my Twitter account, at RJ in Vegas, is I get so many people telling me, we don't even bet, or I don't even bet, but I love to hear the way Vegas thinks. So when there's these league-wide kind of moves, like all of these coaches being fired, I like to say, here's how I would approach it. Here's how I think, speaking for Vegas, would approach it. I think that there's two, you can look at each side of this, each extreme, and be too quick. So one thing is, hey, we're in a six-hour news cycle, hey, it's old news the next day kind of society, social media, Twitter, et cetera. And all of a sudden, if you don't win right away, you're out the door. And to me, I think there's just too much of that. Now, looking at these coaches, Wilkes, first-year coach. Joseph, what, second-year coach?
Yep.
Right? And so those would be like the ones you would say. And let's use Wilkes as an example, right? A first-year coach getting fired. And talk is Patricia might be fired. Now, I don't have any inside information on that, but it could be a second first-year coach, in this case with the Lions. I personally think typically that's going to be too fast, okay? But here's the distinction. In poker, in sports betting, we always talk about results versus process. What, you know, and I know that the 76ers have kind of put a stink on that phrase, you know, the idea of trust the process. But there's some truth to it. And Hanke was a hedge fund guy, was a very analytical guy. And that's kind of the point. When I'm playing poker and I get all the money in and my opponent has two outs, he has a 4% chance to beat me. Well, let me tell you, give me 96, you take four. We can put all the money you want in the middle, all right? And if you win, I'm going to make sure I smile because I want you to keep doing what you're doing, right? So to me, the trick is to ask yourself, is this just results or is this process? Now, we can't judge. We have no idea what's going on in Arizona. But what I know is this. If they said, oh, look at our one-loss record. It's not good. Our fans are mad. Bye-bye. That's a mistake. But if you look at the process, if Arizona did and said, okay, this Wilkes, the process is not heading us in the right direction, then to me, you can fire someone after a week. I mean, if you see, I know what wins and you're not doing it, that's what a job interview is, right? By definition, you're making an assessment, what, in a couple hours knowing someone. Why? Because you've got a few ideas as the boss who's hiring, what it is that leads to winning, that leads to success. If you don't see that in the interview, you don't hire the person. Well, you certainly can see more of that it's either there or lacking in a year. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, I think there is that default, oh, let's take the long view. But if the process is wrong, I think it's a situation where the quicker you can fire them, the better. That's why, finally, when I look at the Steelers, I think, boy, if Tomlin said, I understand I'm not analytically inclined enough right now, I'm going too much for my gut, and here's my two-year plan to get, I don't want to be disruptive, I don't want to overcompensate, but here's my two-year plan to get more analytical, I'd be like, Tomlin, keep him, baby. I would be ahead of the parade. It's just I get no sense that Tomlin in any way is changing his process when it comes to making these decisions. Now, the Steelers might assess we like continuity and he's so good at other areas. Fine. But there's an example. If it was just Grain Tomlin on his analytics, I would say, how many more years are you going to give him? Because he's doing nothing to change. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. In just 1 minute, we're going to break down the three biggest college football games on New Year's Day.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Kevin Figures.
All right, guys, and the Pac-12 redemption tour continues in college football. Oregon notching a 7-6 victory over Michigan State in the Red Box Bowl. That on the heels of Stanford defeating Pittsburgh 14-13 in the Sun Bowl earlier today. Also, Cincinnati defeated Virginia Tech 35-31 in the Military Bowl. In progress, late third quarter, Oklahoma State with a 35-19 lead over 23rd-ranked Missouri in the Liberty Bowl. Coming up at the top of the hour, it will be the Holiday Bowl between Utah and Northwestern. NFL news, the Packers have requested permission to interview Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur for their vacant head coaching position. Bengals and Broncos have sought permission to speak with Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor. Cincinnati has also reached out to the Patriots for permission to interview offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they report that recently fired Bucks head coach Dirk Cutter is the front-runner to replace Steve Sarkisian as offensive coordinator in Atlanta. One final in the NBA, Victor Oladipo scoring 20 points for the surging Pacers. They notch a 116-108 victory over Atlanta. That's five straight W's for Indy. Back to Straight Outta Vegas.
Thanks, Kev. Straight Outta Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on Straight Outta Vegas, we will have Best Bets coming up here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And this should be fun because Brad and I, he is the guy with all the college knowledge, very much disagree on the first game, Jonas, the Buckeyes.
Okay, and we start with the Rose Bowl, in which the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Washington Huskies will kick off tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 o'clock Pacific. Right now, RJ, on pregame.com, Ohio State is a 6.5-point favorite.
That's a key number, 6.5 versus 7. All right, Brad, here's my question to you. My case is, let's get the side set. On my side, I'm saying, you know, Meyer, this being his last game, may or may not be an advantage. I think you could debate both sides of it, but I don't think the case can really be made that it's some kind of gigantic advantage. Now, if you want to try to debate that, we can. But let me just ask you, let's just get some simple, objective, factual numbers out there. Washington, Ohio State, before Urban Meyer, and there was days and days this was up before the announcement, correct?
Yep.
What was the line an hour before Urban Meyer's retirement announcement?
Ohio State was like a 4.5-point favorite.
Okay. And then what was the line a day or two after the announcement?
About six.
Six and a half, right?
Six and a half, yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the question. Can you make the case, because I'm not sure how you can like Ohio State otherwise, because you do. You like
Yep.
Ohio State. How can you make the case that the 4.5 wasn't the best bet of a lifetime, but you like it still at 6.5, unless somehow Urban Meyer retiring is some big factor?
Yeah, I mean, looks like it was.
When you start with, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, well, look, I'm in the Ohio State corner here. It's about the other factors for me. The Urban Meyer
factor. So then you, at 4.5, you would have been, like, did you make your biggest bet of the year?
I have my biggest bets on the year on the Buckeyes.
At 4.5?
At 4 and some other numbers.
Okay, so yeah. Higher and higher numbers.
Yes.
So what do you think the Urban Meyer factor is? Just that one in a vacuum.
A point and a half.
So you think it is an advantage?
I do think it's an advantage.
But let me ask you, Jonas, you are, it feels like you have more kind of the mentality of the players you understand very well, I think. If you're a senior and you're going out with your coach, I get it, right? Or if you're leaving for the NFL. But every other player on the team, Urban Meyer walked in, shook the mom's hand, shook the dad's hand, broke bread, and said, I'm going to make your boy a man, and I'm going to take him to the finish line. Whatever the goals were, education, football, whatever, I'm going to take your boy to the finish line. How could those players, how can the freshmen, sophomore, and juniors feel good about the capricious decision-making? Did you hear Urban Meyer when he said, well, you know, if we didn't beat Michigan, I wouldn't have retired. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
He did say that. You heard that, right, Jonas?
I did not hear that.
Wow. Yes. All right, so let's set that aside. I'll pull it up on the commercial break. What do you feel like these players are all anxious to
come out fight for this guy who's leaving them?
It would be different if he was leaving for another job. Because he's retiring, I think it's a different conversation.
How many times is this guy going to retire?
I know. Look, but I think
Do you think anyone believes that? How much would you – how's this sound? Would you bet me $10,000 at even money right now?
$10,000 minimum bet.
That Urban Meyer would never coach again?
Oh, hell no.
So who's believing? No, no. You think these kids are idiots?
No, but I think in the moment, it's a rallying around Urban. They see the images of him on the sideline. He looks like he lost three vertebrae
at
one
fine.
Time.
He looked fine after they were dominating Michigan.
Of course, of course. Yeah, and he played it up pretty heavily. But I just think if you were leaving for another job, I could see an FU
It'd
mentality.
It'd be even worse.
Players.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So, all right. So, again, no, I have not been convinced on Urban. Make the case otherwise for the Buckeyes.
Well, during the update, we heard that the revenge of the Pac-12 just won a couple bowl games today, didn't cover those bowl games, and now the run stands for the Pac-12 last 3 years in bowl games, 2-18 against the spread.
Wow, now think about that. The spread is what's expected, and 20 games from the Pac-12 the last 3 years, they've fallen short of expectation 18 of the 20.
18 of the 20.
Wow.
So generally speaking, Pac-12's overrated. Washington, obviously the champion of that conference. You look at the Buckeyes, and you saw the advantages the Buckeyes had over a similar style team, Michigan. Really conservative offense, defense for the most part of the season. Keeps everything in front of them, doesn't allow anything beat. Washington has not seen a team of this caliber, team speed, probably since the opener.
Team speed, you think, is the key?
I know it's – look, this is going to be
No, I was
of
just
a,
saying, because I don't think you enunciated that. I'm hearing you, team speed.
And if anything is proven in the college football playoffs, the gaps between the teams that have it and don't is getting wider
speed
and wider.
Speed kills, Brad, speed kills.
It sounds like a very public handicap, but I'm telling
now,
you.
I'm gonna, listen, I'm going to give you a quick chance here.
Yes.
On our podcast, you can go to any podcast player, search for RJ Bell. You can get this Straight Out of Vegas pod and the Dream Preview, which we do hours and hours of deeper dives. Is you were so confident like 3 weeks ago that Ohio State, the line was going to keep running. Halves and quarters weren't going to matter, as they said in Wall Street, Oliver Stone. And you let me lay seven or take seven with Washington.
Yep.
Okay. Now, a couple days ago, it's still 6.5. It was 6.5 a couple days ago. And I know you very well, Brad. You are an ego guy. And it's got you off the farm. Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's great. Like that self, that confidence, that, you know, that the ego, but it also is a flaw in your game. So yeah. I said, you know, Brad's going to try to act. I was thinking to myself now, Brad's going to act like he's still feeling good about laying seven when the market's 6.5. And we bet a nickel on it, 500. And I said, you want to double your bet? And I could see you fighting. You're going, I know this is negative EV right now, but I don't want to seem weak.
Mm-hmm.
And you bet another 500. So we're up to 1,000 now.
Yep.
Now, our standard bet on Straight Out of Vegas is $100. But I'll take another 100 anytime. Do you want to add to that 100? Press, if you do, press the green button. Now, let me tell you, Joe, this is just great advice for you in the future. Is profile your opponent, right? When you understand, and again, maybe for Brad, net, this ego, this stubbornness is a good thing, but in certain spots, it's problematic. And to me, as a bettor, especially at the poker table, for example, you got to take advantage of their weaknesses, even if it's their strengths in other situations. One last thought. Just ponder this about Ohio State and Meyer. Like you would a fortune cookie.
And you never walk away from the table when you're on a heater.
I guess Meyer's walking away. Things can't be too good. When we come back, we're going to talk about our best bets and the other big games coming up in the next tonight and tomorrow.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. It is best bets time here on Straight Out of Vegas. Brad Powers, our college football expert, has a best bet on the Gator Bowl, which is kicking off less than an hour from now.
Yeah, best bets on Texas A&M minus the 7.5 here. Going through it, I got to question the motivation for NC State. Why? Two of NC State's best players going to decide to sit this game out, focus on the NFL draft. Their top wide receiver, Kelvin Harmon. Their top defensive player, linebacker Jermaine Pratt. And what we've seen so far this bowl season, if you got a team that has their best players sitting out for the NFL draft, it's been a negative. Now, 1-7 against the spread. Those teams aren't thinking behind it is, RJ, if our best players don't value this game, they're not motivated to even practice and play in the game. What are the rest of the players thinking? They don't take it as serious. 1-7 against the spread, those teams. And the second factor, A&M will be motivated. First-year coach, Jimbo Fisher, lots of momentum. Just signed their best recruiting class in school history. A team that's underrated at 8-4. Why? Two of their four losses were to Alabama and Clemson. Best bet, Texas A&M.
So, Brad, I'm looking to lay 7 right now. Where can I lay 7?
It was 7 when I did the notes 2 hours ago.
Seven.
I figured it was 7.5.
You can always tell, Jonas, when a handicapper says, you know, it could be 7, maybe 7.5. Bet your life it's 7.5.
Yes.
Though I do agree with one point. Imagine if those two players out were injured. The effect would be the absence on the field. When you have them choosing not to play, it's a double effect, a double negative for that team. Their absence on the field plus the psychology of here's some of our key players. They don't think this game matters. It's got to affect the other players.
The Citrus Bowl is next up. A kickoff is tomorrow, 1 Eastern time. It's Kentucky and it's Penn State. RJ, your best bet is?
I like nothing better than a one-factor handicap. And what does that mean? It means that all the other stuff gets put in the wash because the betting market accounts for everything that it knows about. Now, Brad is saying, hey, I actually think that they know about NC State's absences, but the market's not properly accounting for it. That's one of the ways you can win. The other way is know things the market doesn't. Well, that's difficult. That's true inside information, and that's something very rarely does any bettor have. If they tell you they have it, be worried because they're lying to you, right? So to me, this is the one factor that matters. Mark Stoops, who I know on a personal level, let me say it like this, the Kentucky coach. I've seen how upset he was losing $500 in a hand of blackjack. Now, Brad, quantify for me what Kentucky has at stake in this game.
Yeah, specifically Mark Stoops, the head coach, with a win in this case, gets an automatic 2-year contract to the end, 2-year contract added to what his contract is. So an extra 2-year signing bonus on top of $500,000. A lot of incentives.
So he's making, what's he making? Like $3-4 million a year?
Yeah. So, I mean,
so this is like a $6+ million game for him.
Yes.
All right. So does that mean they're going to win? No. But what it means is the handicaps that I've heard in this game is, oh, Kentucky was, you know, faded at the end of the year. Well, yeah, they had so many tough games in a row. Now they've had off, what, 5-6 weeks? Well,
yep.
5 weeks, right? So they're not going to be tired. Next one is, oh, are they really motivated? Well, I can promise you that if Mark Stoops is motivated, that team is motivated. And to me, I listened to all the other pros, and they did not seem to realize it. What, I mean, let's be candid, Brad. I'm not talking about you necessarily, but the idea of Kentucky with uncertain motivation was part of the handicaps you've heard.
It is, and I'm not buying it. I agree with you, RJ.
All right, so everything else, let Vegas figure out. Best bet of the College Bowl season. My first bet of the season. I'm going with Kentucky.
Guys, next up we go to the Sugar Bowl. It is Texas and it's Georgia. Georgia, a 12-point favorite.
So this is another example of motivation, right? And I think the analogy for Georgia, Brad, is going to be Michigan. So explain, we saw what happened with Michigan. Do you think it's analogous to Georgia here? And the theory being they were so close to the playoffs.
I think it is in this particular case. So Michigan was one game away from basically the college football playoffs, a loss to Ohio State. What happened in that 4-week interim between the end of the regular season and the bowl game? Bunch of players decided to sit out. You're feeling woe is me. We came oh so close to the playoffs. Georgia in a similar spot here. Up 14 against Alabama late in the second half. Blow that game. Don't get in the college football playoffs. And on top of that, Georgia has one of their best, if not their very best, defensive player, DeAndre Baker, saying, nah, no thanks. I'm going to skip out on this game.
So once again, a double effect. His absence on the field. Also, the idea that, hey, this guy doesn't think this game really matters. Who do you like in the game with Georgia and Texas?
I like Texas on top of the
You've bet Texas.
Bet Texas. Like Texas a lot in this one. On top of the motivation factors, Texas playing with house money. Here's a team that finally overachieved for the first time in probably 6-7 years for the Longhorns. Sign them up for the Sugar Bowl if you'd ask
them. So there's a sense of a new coach, momentum.
Yes. Year two
we're building something here. Georgia is, hey, we missed the mark. And what's the line in this game?
Texas plus 12 and a half.
Ooh. So you've bet it.
I have bet it.
Couple of 10-second questions here. Number one, other big game tomorrow, LSU favored by 7.5 over UCF, Central Florida. How many teams entering the bowl season undefeated would have been favored over Central Florida?
37 with the current quarterback.
Wow. So you might think, well, Brad has all the college knowledge, but maybe he's wrong about that one. What does your power rating say about LSU and Central Florida?
LSU by 7.5.
In the line?
7.
So really, your power ratings are right on. Undefeated. And listen, most of us love the underdog. David and Glide, let's give them a ton of credit. I hope they win the game, but they should not have been in the playoffs. They should not, UCF, have been in the playoffs. Guys, off tomorrow for the games. Back, though, on Wednesday, 6 o'clock Eastern.
If you missed any of today's show, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are straight out of Vegas, as RJ mentioned, back on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.